In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks for joining us and happy Friday, everybody.
Yay.
Woohoo.
I am sensing so much excitement from 2019. You can just feel it pouring through the speakers. Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games. And my New Year's resolution is to find more TV shows to watch because I feel like I play so much video game stuff that I don't watch as much TV as I should, and I'm discovering fun stuff, so I'm going to try to watch more TV.
I'm Brian Truitt, and I watch movies, and my resolution is to keep on keeping on.
Keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking. Hang in there, cat emoji. Cat poster.
I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch TV. And my 2019 New Year's resolution is to read more. I'm just recently essentially binge read the Crazy Rich Asians series.
Oh, how was it?
It's amazing. It's a bit soapier than the movie and a bit more disdainful of the rich people.
Oh, geez.
But it's really, really quick, easy to read.
Well, there you go. If this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. While you're on Apple Podcasts, we would really love it if you could write a quick review about the show. By doing that, you'll help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. As a thank you, we will give you a shout out on our next episode. For example, this lovely review from Brock626, who says, "The pod is great anytime. The hosts have good chemistry and their passion for the nerdy subject matter shines through. But it's especially enjoyable for me to know I can listen to it at work and not have to worry about the content. My favorite part of this entire thing is the very end where it reads, and I quote, even when Brian Dice Truitt lets the F-bombs fly, the audio is censored as the pilot producer of the Mothership shoots down the profanity and keeps things clean. Can we call you Dice?
I might have like one eternity? F-bomb like a week, maybe one.
There
Maybe one
weeks,
every other week.
You've been effing it up a little bit.
Where
lately.
There are like a lot of
I'm effing everything up. What are you talking about?
But also, I really like the wording of the pilot shooting down the F-bombs. He's adding to our metaphor incredibly well. This guy's a writer, clearly. Thank you, sir.
I'm just going to call you Dice from here on out.
Okay, so. That's fine.
I'm sorry.
I've been called worse. Like this week, I've been called worse.
Yeah, I think that's all of us. So thank you again, Brock. We really appreciate the love. So again, that could be you, listener. If you want to hear anything about the show moving forward, if you want to give us feedback, if you have any positive, fun things to say, let us know. We may share it on a future episode. It's all upside for you.
We'll compliment you.
Exactly. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. You can email us to mothershippod@usatoday.com. As you may have heard, it's 2019.
Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year. So we're here to talk about fun stuff coming in 2019. We're starting with movies. Lots of very big movies coming this year. Very important ones across, you know, lots of different properties from Avengers, Star Wars. All the familiar names that you know are coming back in a big way. So it's shaping up to be a pretty big year. So we're going to talk about some of those movies. The way we have it set up is each of us is going to pick two movies that we're looking forward to in 2019 and give you a quick breakdown. And there you go. All movies, all the time. Just a programming note, we're going to cover TV at some point later this month. So we haven't forgotten about TV because there's a certain HBO show that comes back in a couple months that I'm sure everyone's going to want to hear about.
And I am caught up finally in the world of things. So I don't have to like put my earmuffs on ever again. I know what's going on. I'm so proud of myself.
I'm just glad I didn't schedule my wedding for April. We almost did.
Wow. Good for you. Well done. Maybe they did it just for your wedding. It's possible.
They did it just to make sure I had my wedding in September.
Exactly. I have to figure out whether I can get through every episode in 3 months, but we'll see if I actually follow through or not.
I did it in two months.
It's possible. You have never been particularly great at like sticking to a TV show, I feel like.
Well, Game of Thrones in particular, the first few episodes, I got kind of bored quickly. But then again, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I hammered through that like it was nothing. It was beautiful.
Game of Thrones is not like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Absolutely not. It's not even close. Not even close. So I'll have to revisit this at a later date. But let's move on to movies, because that's what we're here to talk about this week. Brian, since you're the movie expert, you get first pick in the 2019 movie draft.
I think Star Wars Episode 9 is the obvious pick. It is probably going to be the biggest movie of the year. I mean, which is saying something when they're, you know, the end of 20-something years of Marvel movies, or I guess 10-plus years of Marvel movies, and Frozen 2, and so much other stuff is kind of going on. But, I mean, Episode 9 ends the 40-plus year Star Wars Skywalker saga. I think this is going to be the biggest thing, you know, in the last few years, I think, ever since probably Force Awakens. So yeah, I think, you know, no one knows anything about it, really. I think we're gonna have to wait till April for Star Wars Celebration to find out, at least get a trailer or find out kind of what's kind of going on. But I think it's gonna be epic.
How long before we reach what I like to call hot take hell, where it's like we're gonna get a series of just hot takes about this movie either before, during, or after, or already there?
I think April, once the trailer comes out. If the trailer doesn't come out before then, that's going to be the hot take hell. I think people are going to, because you're going to have like the Last Jedi haters, and then you're going to have like everybody else, and everybody's going to have a hot take after the trailer. But, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of see, because that first Force Awakens trailer that J.J. Abrams did showed nothing. I mean, it was like a Mad Men teaser. It was just like, here's the thing. No one knows how those all puzzle pieces fit, but they're all kind of there. And then, you know, when you saw the movie, you're like, oh, I saw that, you know, so it didn't make sense in context. So if he does that, I think it'd be kind of fun, because I think we don't want to really know what happens with this movie until, you know, December.
So, Kelly, we know that, you know, the big thing with this movie is the director change. J.J. Abrams is back in the helm. How are you feeling about it, knowing that J.J. Abrams is kind of back in front now?
I like J.J. Abrams a lot. I really like The Force Awakens. I like The Last Jedi better. I do think, even though those Last Jedi haters get all the press and make a lot of noise, there is also a large contingent of people who really loved The Last Jedi. I think it's a different, like, segment of Star Wars fans than, you know, I think there's like a segment who likes the direction that like The Force Awakens took, and then I'm in the subsection that like really loves the direction The Last Jedi took. And so the one thing that I worry about is that J.J. Abrams might undo some of the stuff that I really liked in The Last Jedi. But I don't think that he would undo it in a way that would ruin it in like the way that the finale of How I Met Your Mother ruined the entire show. It might just be like, oh, but not like,
Yeah, it's going to...
I'm sorry.
Hey, it's better than us. We've probably been waving our hands around or raising our hand like we did last week.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Remember that time? We raised our hands? Yeah.
You guys all saw
our podcast.
2019 is off to a roaring start. I feel like it's going to be, like you said, a little more of like closing a chapter as opposed to like, yeah, completely blowing it up. And
it's because it closes the book, though. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
This closes the entire book of like, it's just, you know, this is the final chapter of this 42 year thing. That's a lot of pressure.
A ton of pressure. But then again, he had pressure when The Force Awakens came out. Yeah. He was the first one in forever. So then he handled that pretty well. So I think.
But he stuck to a template, though. He stuck kind of like to the template of the original Star Wars. And like, you know, he had a different piece with Rey and Finn and Kylo Ren. And, you know, so he had different pieces. He did stick to, you know, having a Death Star and having, you know, certain like plot points that were kind of the same as the original Star Wars. Is this going to be Return of the Jedi? I mean, you know, is there going to be Ewoks? You know, is there going to be like, you know, a singing thing at the end? You know, we don't know. It's just, so I think there's so much kind of mystery around this. It really is fun to kind of like think about how they're going to do this and, you know, how much excitement there is around it and how much pressure there is. But I think there's excitement and kind of nerves in that too.
So is there one thing that you'd like to see or not see from this movie? Like for me, it's, I don't want another super weapon with an easily exploitable flaw. Kelly, is there anything that jumps out to you, like something you either really want to see from this movie or something you really don't want to see?
Well, my favorite thing about The Last Jedi was the quote unquote revelation that Rey's parents were no one. I definitely think J.J. Abrams is going to undo that, knowing him.
Yep, I
but
think
hopefully
so.
He keeps the theme that like anyone can be special and anyone can be chosen, like the little kid at the end. But even if he doesn't, I feel like I got that from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the whole anyone can wear the mask thing. And I would love to see that in Star Wars, but that Spider-Man movie was so good that like, honestly, it will like satiate me for like that theme that I really like for like years to come. I know it doesn't connect at all in probably a lot of other people's brains, but in my brain, it almost gets Star Wars off the hook. Is that weird? I don't know. I'm a weird person. So that's what I hope for. I love the idea of spreading the power and the love and the heroism over as many people as possible, because I find that to be very inspiring and very satisfying.
Yeah, Spider-Verse was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, totally.
Brian, what about you? Anything you really want to see or don't want to see?
I mean, I would like to see something truly surprising or shocking. I do not think they're going to... I don't know if we're ever going to get the I am your father moment again. But I want something like that. I want something where like somebody has redemption, gets redemption. Some other person like falls to the dark side that we weren't expecting. I would like to see something like kind of truly shocking somewhere in there. But I also would like to, you know, I think it's going to revert back to the theme of like the resistance or rebellion. I think, you know, that got away a little bit in The Last Jedi, more of the kind of like Kelly was saying. I think it kind of geared more toward, you know, anybody can be a Jedi. Anybody can kind of like save the universe, which is kind of inherent in like the whole kind of Rebel Alliance dealy of the first trilogy. But I think we're going to come back to that kind of like, you know, evil needs to be kind of like stood up to and taken down in a, you know, in an epic fashion. And I think, you know, we're going to have like some huge climactic space battle. We're going to have like probably Rey and Kylo throwing down for all the marbles, you know, with lightsabers. I think that might be where it mirrors Return of the Jedi a little bit, where you have that kind of like the moment where Kylo and Rey have to figure each other out a little bit. And then, you know, and then the big space battle to kind of like probably take down some kind of like super weapon that is hopefully not round this time.
But we can only hope.
We can only hope. Yeah.
Yeah. We might stop there only because we're probably going to be talking about this movie for the next several podcasts.
For 11 months now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we'll stop here for now. And Kelly, what's your pick for one of the movies you're looking forward to this year?
In a shocking twist that will rival the I am your father moment, I am picking Captain Marvel out March 8th.
No.
This is me dead. I'm dead of shock.
Yes, I am very excited about Captain Marvel. I am particularly more excited about it from the trailer they released just this week, a short minute and a half promo, essentially, because tickets are on sale.
But what I got mine already.
Excellent. But what I really loved about it was that it let the humor shine through. And not that I was necessarily worried that it was going to be over-serious, but the sort of over-serious, epic trailer style they had before was, you know, cool-ish, but wasn't like grabbing me as much as this trailer did. And I liked that Carol Danvers, who is Captain Marvel, as we've talked about on this podcast before, I like that Carol got to talk a lot more in this one, and we got to see her personality and see more of her powers, and she was less of a unknowable entity. You know, the first trailer, I get it. They started with Nick Fury talking because we know Nick Fury, but it's like in my brain where I spent a lot of time thinking about when and why female characters talk and that kind of thing, it really bugged me that she didn't talk until halfway through the trailer. It just, I know why they did it. It just really rubbed me the wrong way. And then this was just so better. I wish that they had done this one earlier. But anyway, I'm very excited. I love Captain Marvel. We had Kelly Sue DeConnick on the podcast a few weeks ago, and she talked briefly about it. She is responsible for this movie, essentially, because the way that she wrote this character brought her to life in a way that hadn't happened before, and generated this incredible fandom. And I've read a few of them, and I love it. And what I like about Carol is that she has this sort of no-nonsense attitude, and that's exactly what I saw in that new trailer. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see different kind of powers besides punching from Marvel. I'm excited to see a different kind. All their super suits look exactly the same a lot. And hers still does, but the Mohawk helmet helps. I like seeing new and different visuals from them. I'm excited to get the Skrulls and the Kree into the Marvel Universe. They open up a lot of possibilities. And I love Brie Larson. And I love Jude Law. And Gemma Chan, who is in Crazy Rich Asians, will also be hanging out. So this is going to be a great movie, I hope.
She's probably going to be in this movie for like 5 minutes.
You know,
probably.
Astrid only needs 5 minutes to make an impact.
So, it's, you know, obviously we've got Avengers and this whole cinematic universe starting to wrap up. Brian, how do you see her fitting in with all this? What kind of clues do you think we'll get from this movie, if any? I know Black Panther largely stuck with just his story and then kind of sprinkled some stuff in. Do you see something similar happening here?
Yeah, I think it'll be just kind of like, because everything's set in the 90s. I think they're gonna have the cosmic part of it, like Guardians of the Galaxy with the whole Kree Skrull War kind of going on. But also, you know, her coming back to Earth and figuring out why does she have memories of being, you know, being on Earth. You know, kind of where how did she get from point A to point B and now back to point A? How does this all kind of, you know, she's got to figure out like her whole identity and memories and things. So I think that's going to be very kind of like, you know, standalone. But then, you know, I think we're going to see, you know, the beeper. How does that beeper end up in Nick Fury's hand for, you know, kind of in present day before he gets kind of like turns into ash? You know, he pushes that button at the end of Infinity War to essentially probably call Captain Marvel wherever she is. There'll probably be sprinkles to kind of like figure out how this all kind of connects to Endgame before we get to Endgame, which is like a month after Captain Marvel comes out. So I think essentially it's probably going to be kind of like a semi, like kind of an Endgame prequel that then kind of like, you know, kind of dives right into it.
Well, there you go. Okay, my pick, I went with the DC universe for my pick. It's Shazam, which comes out on April 5th. And I was really skeptical about this when I first saw it, because before we even saw any trailers for the film, we had the image of Zachary Levi in the Shazam suit. And I'm like, he looks ridiculous. And in the light of what the DC films have been, it's like, oh my God, they are going to ruin this movie.
I mean, truly, he looks like he was wearing one of those suits where you blow them up to create muscles.
Like, he totally does.
Like, what?
By design, though.
I mean, yeah, but the paparazzi photo did favors for that aesthetic.
But it's proof of when that kind of stuff happens and how it kind of can ruin your impression of the movie, because then the trailer came out and the trailer since then. And it actually looks like it could be a really fun film. And it stars him as Shazam. Asher Angel plays Billy Batson, who's the 14-year-old kid. And if I remember right, the way Shazam works, it's basically two characters. It's Billy Batson and then it's this other kind of sorcerer wizard guy.
Shazam.
And he brings him to life by saying Shazam and he becomes a superhero. But the way they approach it is it's kind of like Big in that, you know, the kid becomes the adult superhero and he's like freaking out and he's got a friend that knows his secret. And so the whole movie is kind of about him like, holy crap, I'm a superhero and doing all this crazy stuff. There's a fun scene where he's trying to recharge everybody's smartphones and stuff. And so he's tapping on the screens like, your charge. Then a smartphone blows up and he's like, oops. And it just looks like a really fun movie. And I feel like DC could use something like this, like a little more of a comedic kind of spin on things.
I mean, not just comedy. They need something that kids can go see.
Exactly.
Like, it's so, I have had people be like, I can't believe I can't take my kid to see Batman. You know what I mean? Like, it's too intense, it's too violent, it's too dark. And I think Marvel movies make a lot of money at the box office because people go in groups with their whole family.
Not to mention all the merchandise. Everyone's wearing Black Panther and Captain America stuff because they see the movie. So they buy all the stuff.
Somebody's actually thinking over that now, though, because, you know, now you have Aquaman, which is like made more money than Wonder Woman at this point. And then and it is totally like it is totally standalone. There is like one line that connects to Justice League, but everything else is kind of its own thing. And I feel like kind of Shazam's going to be the same way. I mean, I think they're going to point out the fact of like Batman and Superman also exist in this universe, but they're not part of the story probably. You know, Aquaman was very kind of like fantasy epic, you know, Game of Thrones-y kind of thing. This is going to be like Spider-Man Homecoming. You know, it's like a kid trying to figure out how to deal with superpowers. He just happens to be in an adult body and he has like a best friend. You know, there's a supervillain that comes around too. So I feel like it's going to have that kind of Spider-Man Homecoming vibe where it is going to, like you said, kind of lean young, and it's going to be very different from anything else that's come before, but it is going to be standalone. And I think that's what they have to lean into, I think, right now, because the Justice League didn't work. So just do standalones until it works. And then you can be like, you can marvelize and be like, oh, hey, let's get the Justice League back together again or something.
Exactly. And I think what they were doing with Shazam is really smart. And I think that it's proof that, you know, kind of try to take all the stuff you see online with a grain of salt, especially like you see a picture here and there and you're like, oh, crap, this movie's going to bomb, and not realizing what the vision of the movie is. And it makes so much more sense now seeing him in the suit and just seeing the approach to it. It looks so much more interesting now. So
the 14-year-olds probably didn't see that, to be honest.
Exactly.
Like, especially the ones who, you know, will go see it because it is a superhero movie and like, what else are you going to see this weekend, and don't know anything about it and will be hopefully happily surprised. So that's what I like. You know, I tend to think that more of this kind of stuff should be aimed at families. It's why for a while I really liked Supergirl, because of all of those CW Berlanti shows, it was one that was aimed at families the most. It's kind of changed.
Honestly, after seeing Into the Spider-Verse, why not make more of these movies animated?
Oh my God,
considering the animation
I know.
Techniques that are being used now. Like, Into the Spider-Verse looked incredible. And I mean, why not try like a Green Lantern that's animated like that or something similar? I mean,
well, they do. I mean, DC's done these animated films,
but not theatrically released.
But because they haven't done well. Yeah. I mean, I think there's that too. I think, you know, kind of Disney and Pixar have owned this space. Universal and Illumination has like the Minions, and like Sony's kind of had a few things with talking animals. They haven't had like this kind of franchise like Disney and Pixar has, just kind of looming over everything. And it takes Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the guys behind the Lego movie, to be just like, let's do a Spider-Man movie that, you know, has a whole bunch of Spider-Men. Somebody has takes the cojones to go and do that and, you know, do something totally different like that. Like you said, it opens up to like, okay, well, you know, let's try different things. And I think the Lego movie does the same thing, you know, kind of like it opens up the fact of like you can put all these kind of weird different universes together. And if you have a core kind of emotional undercurrent to it, it'll work. As long as like that core is universal and people can relate to it.
And I think DC has such a great track record for animated television. Batman the Animated Series, obviously huge fan following. The DC Superhero Girls franchise, which I was very wary of when it was announced, is actually
awesome.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And feels like a great August burn-off movie that could be made aimed at girls. You know, like think of like Planes, that like non-Pixar Disney movie they did that was like going to go direct to DVD. But then they're like, hey, just throw it in theaters and, you know, make a little bit of money and everyone is happy, especially the 5-year-olds.
Exactly. The other secret cool thing I like about Shazam is that we technically have 2 Captain Marvel movies out this year, which is kind of great.
Which he is the first.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's in the 40s, right?
Yeah, the 40s. Yeah.
So there we go. Okay, round 2. We start again with Brian. Brian, what's your other pick for 2019?
Let's just keep it going with the superheroes. Let's just go to Avengers Endgame.
Well, there we go.
Because who knows what's going to happen in that movie?
I sense an endgame
coming. People are dead.
With everything in this movie.
I like the fact of like the whole marketing for this movie is only going to show the first 20 minutes. Nothing else. Which I think is great. I was a proponent of like not showing a damn trailer for this thing at all. And just opening it up. Because you don't need to market it. Everybody's going to go to it. It's like a Star Wars movie.
Just have a montage of superhero logos and be like, totally. Endgame.
That's what the trailer should be. Like a little snippet of like all the movies that have led to this and leads to Thanos' snap, boom, Avengers Endgame.
Or they could pull the Social Network thing, which remember started with all different Facebook profiles. Mm-hmm. So you could just see people fading all over the world, like random regular people. And then it's like Captain America, one line, end. Mm-hmm.
Or what they should do is take 2 minutes of shaving Chris Evans' beard and then have him turn sad and sullen with a clean shaven face. The beard is just the beginning. Avengers Endgame in theaters.
Listen, why did they do that to me? Why did they take the beard away? What have I done?
He's clean shaven. We also don't know if that's our Captain America. Because obviously there's going to be time travel because somehow we've got to get Captain Marvel, you know, 30 years in the future. The end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, you know, Janet Van Dyne says something about time paradoxes. Oh, hey, you know, so we're going to have time travel. And I think they will probably like revisit things that have happened.
Chekhov's time paradox, you say?
Yes, exactly that. The original Avengers are the only ones who are still alive. They're going to probably have to come to grips with, like, what has happened ever since the first Iron Man movie and, like, figuring stuff out and kind of, like, how do we now kind of go to space and you know, fix all this stuff and, you know, kind of throw down with Thanos again. And Iron Man's stuck in space somewhere, probably with Nebula. Who knows what's going on there? So I think there's kind of, like, the Infinity War just kind of left everything like a big question mark. So now, you know, we know that people are going to be back. Ant-Man somehow comes out of the quantum realm. Hawkeye's turned like kind of weird and probably because he lost his whole family. So, you know, we don't know anything. And again, it's like Star Wars. It's just like, I love the fact that we don't know anything because we'll get like really kind of surprised by things.
Okay. As you mentioned, we saw a lot of death in the last Avengers movie. Let's take some guesses here. Who dies? I think Cap's probably going to die. We might lose Iron Man too. I think they're going to go big.
I think one retires and one dies. I don't know which one.
I agree with Brian. My instinct says Cap's the one who's going to die, but I think it would hurt fans more than if Iron Man died. But then I also think Robert Downey Jr. is more interested in leaving the door open than Chris Evans is. So I think all of those factors are going in there. I don't want Cap to die. Don't make me watch that, please.
I mean, they killed off Black Panther. So I was like, when they did.
He's not dead.
Well, we know. But technically speaking, for now, he is. But the second they did that, I was like, okay, all bets are off. Like, anybody's fair game at this point.
I think Captain America makes more sense to die just because, like, his one love is also kind of dead. So he kind of might want to, he will probably sacrifice himself because of that. Whereas in the Endgame, you know, teaser we've seen, it obviously Iron Man is still very much in love with Pepper Potts. So I feel like that's going to be his reason to kind of like keep going and make it back home and save the day. Whereas Captain America might be more willing to kind of sacrifice himself because, you know, he obviously has these friends and he wants to do the right thing. But, you know, kind of he wants to be kind of with his love again.
Well, one thing I've seen floating around is like the Weeping Angels thing from Doctor Who, where Captain America ends up trapped back in the 40s with Peggy.
Yeah.
And I think that would satisfy not killing him on screen and also get Chris Evans out of his contract.
But I don't know. I feel like I think everyone would kind of expect the happy, rosy ending, but I don't know if I want the happy, rosy ending the way they've been going. I feel like,
oh, there won't be an ending. There will be a transition. I think, you know, because we're going to have to move into a next phase and a whole new kind of like era of these movies. You know, Captain Marvel and Black Panther and Spider-Man, Doctor Strange are all going to have their movies kind of going forward. So this is going to be probably saying goodbye to, you know, certain people. Some will keep going, some will not. But I think there will be a happy-ish ending. But I don't think it'll be like a happy, happy ending. Because I think there'll be death and I think there'll be sacrifice, but I think there will be introductions and kind of like a move and just kind of like, you know, whatever comes next.
So random,
Fantastic Four, maybe.
Yeah. So random question, Thanos on his farm, is he just like a retiree that's kind of laying back or is he like actually farming and stuff?
He's probably farming. He's not a scarecrow.
Like a corn guy or is he like a wheat guy or soybean?
Probably a wheat guy.
He's very into sustainability.
That makes sense.
Well, obviously, he's all about balance. I mean, he wants to save the universe by killing it, you know, half of everybody. So,
one part
do
corn,
some wheat
one
too.
Part wheat, one part lentils. No meat.
So we're saying Thanos is a vegan then?
Absolutely.
Well, there we go. We should have a whole episode devoted to this, like Thanos's farm. Something to think about.
Cows or chickens?
Yeah, there you go. Well, he's vegan, so neither. I guess.
That's
right?
Well, but milk, you know. Maybe has like a little dairy farm inside.
Maybe he's an almond milk guy. I don't know.
That's true.
Anything's possible. Okay, let's move on because we're going way off the off ramp here.
He's a soy boy.
Wouldn't that be something? Oh, Kelly, your pick number two for movies of 2019.
My second pick is John Wick Chapter 3, out May 17th. My pick is John Wick Chapter 3 because John Wick is awesome. We don't have
Keanu
to discuss
Reeves
it anymore.
True. Yes. All these things are true.
It's true. When the second John Wick movie came out, I was like, should we do another one? The first one was perfect. But then I saw John Wick 2 and I thought, absolutely, we should do another one. This one isn't perfect, but it's so much fun. And I assume that's what Chapter 3 will be like. Brian, I think you talked to the director, Chad Stahelski, about what we can expect.
Yeah, he likes to put John Wick through the ringer. And I think that's kind of what these movies have been about, is kind of like the consequences of being an assassin and living this life and kind of like dealing with them. And when this whole movie series started, he was retired. He was just kind of like doing his own thing. Ran afoul of some guys. They killed his dog, unleashed the beast. And then he goes and, you know, kills them all. And that, and then that was John Wick 1. And then John Wick 2 kind of like expanded the fact of like, you know, there is this whole assassin community and they have rules and the code. And, you know, they have these hotels like all throughout the world that, you know, you can't kill anybody in the hotels. They have like a whole, you know, they have a whole code they have to do. And he goes and kills somebody in a hotel and he's a marked man. And like the whole community wants to kill him in this movie. So I think that's kind of it's kind of fun to kind of like you have something like, you know, a simple theme of like, you know, stuff has consequences and you have to deal with them. And then you put them in this kind of expanded kind of like action movie universe that has rules and a code. And, you know, he has no friends, so he has to go find some friends. He has to go back and, you know, dig into his past, find some help and, you know, get him out of the spot.
You know, I think the whole thing about things have consequences and it's always really hard for John Wick and he has to go through the ringer is what I love about this franchise. I love that Keanu Reeves never has a clean face. It's bruised, it's bloody, it's weathered, his hair is wet 99% of the time. It's amazing. It's a look. It looks great on Keanu Reeves.
He's perfect in every way.
He's perfect in every way. And I like the small bits of humor that they can put in. Like in the second movie, when he goes to the British guy to get his supplies, and all the euphemisms they use and the casual way that they talk about all these weapons and such. It's great. It's the platonic ideal of an action movie. I think I've said on this podcast before. It's just, you know, no complication, just what we want.
And if you thought that John Wick and Keanu Reeves couldn't get any better, there were the images that came out over the summer where they showed John Wick riding through New York City on horseback.
Yes.
Which probably could make the cover of a modern day romance novel at this point. It's breathtaking. It's really amazing. Like, the first thing I think of is, what's he going to do? Please don't befriend this horse, because in the horse, sometimes the horse, if we learned from the first movie, it looks majestic. I don't know what else to say. The only thing that could be better is if it was a unicorn at this point.
I don't like movies where dogs are in danger.
There's going to be a lot of dogs in this movie, by the way. A lot of dogs.
Well, but anyway, I was just about to say that the only one that I allow is John Wick, because it is the appropriate response to a dog being hurt is what John Wick did.
Oh, absolutely.
That's part of the magic of that movie, though, is, you know, because I hate seeing like anything happen. I won't even watch like those, you know, weepy dog movies, because I'm like, I don't want to sit there and wait for something to happen to the dog. But it works in that movie because you're like, you are John Wick. Everybody in the world is John Wick at that moment. You're like, we're going to kill these motherfuckers right the fuck now. And it's
get
just like,
get him dice.
You had it first. You had the first one. But we all can like imagine that. And I think that's why we're like, okay, we're all in on John Wick. All the chips. Then the sequel made this simple action movie concept a much expansive, cool, mythological thing.
With a lot of cool locations. I'm excited to see more locations.
It's going to Morocco this time.
Ooh.
New York, Morocco, and back.
Excellent.
Amazing. I hope it's all on horse. It'll be awesome.
He rides to Morocco from New York
on horseback. He rides on a unicorn, obviously.
On a unicorn. Yeah. A Pegasus unicorn that flies him from New York to Morocco. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Or he's on like a ferry and he's checking his watch on the horse while he waits for the ferry to get across. Be awesome. Okay, now for my pick. I almost went Dumbo because it looks really interesting, but I also know that's seems, because it's live action, looks like a very like sad movie to watch with the whole animal thing that we just talked about. But the one that jumped out to me that I'm really looking forward to is Us, which is out on March 15th. It is, I know, it's written and directed by Jordan Peele, who wrote Get Out, which was an incredible horror film. And he promised it would be much scarier this time around, which I can't imagine because Get Out was extremely disturbing and freaky and just amazing.
Have you seen the trailer to this movie?
I have seen the trailer to this movie.
Yeah.
The trailer to this movie essentially gave me nightmares. I mean, it didn't actually give me nightmares, but I was so worried about sleeping and having nightmares that I had to like get up and run around.
It's, I mean, incredible, incredible. So the trailer for that came out on Christmas morning, which is a very interesting time to release a trailer, but of all, especially a horror movie. But it stars Lupita Nyong'o, Winston Duke, and they're part of a family and they're going on a beach vacation. And it turns out that they come across people that literally look just like them, but they are super scary and supernatural, and
they don't talk much.
They don't talk.
They wear jumpsuits.
Yeah. But I feel like the actors in this trailer were incredible in terms of just being a part of the family, but the way they kind of flipped to these creepier personas in the trailer, you're just like, oh my God, I can't. And the fact they're like, they think like us, they know everything we do and all this other stuff. And it just looks absolutely incredible and haunting. And I think I think it stands out as this crop of horror movies that we're getting now. It's more psychological and stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems so fascinating. Very much looking forward to it.
Can't wait. Honestly, probably like, or past like Star Wars and Avengers, and I guess Frozen 2. I guess I want to see that.
You have a daughter.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's like Us is number 3 for me. Of like, I cannot freaking wait to see this movie.
I am so emotionally torn about this movie because obviously I want to see it. Get Out was one of the horror movies that I was able to go to and I really enjoyed, even though I was very scared. And I'm so glad that I saw it. And I love everyone in this and I love Jordan Peele. But the trailer was so effing scary. And I'm not good at this.
I remember I was on Twitter like right after it came out, and there's a classic hip hop song in there called I Got Five on it. And there were so many people that were like, I can't even hear this now because it's like, I think of this trailer right away and it's freaking me out. But yeah, it looks so scary. And all I keep thinking about too when I think of this movie is Get Out and what the reception right after, like everybody was talking about, oh my God, this movie, you know. And I feel like it's going to be just like that. But I can't imagine it being on another level because Get Out was so incredible. I can't imagine being a step up. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what he does.
It was disturbing and kind of creepy, but it was also funny.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like all the kind of the scarier bits kind of like were balanced with like funny, you know, with some kind of humor. You were never like torn out of it like you would with Hereditary or something.
I mean, it looks so intimate, I think, is why it automatically feels scarier than Get Out. Get Out was about the society, kind of was the villain in Get Out, even though there was, you know, the actual white family who was doing the horrible things. They didn't scare me, you know, like maybe Catherine Keener with the teacup. That was kind of scary.
Yeah.
But like, I wasn't afraid of Allison Williams. It was like, oh, right. Like it was, and then the Us part of it, like the scary flipped family, is freaking terrifying. And it's like yourself. And, you know, and it's the kind of thing where you start to think about putting yourself in this movie kind of thing, which I didn't see Hereditary because I was terrified just to get on the F-bomb train. But this sounds a lot like what you, Brian, and our horror friend of the podcast, Scott Weinberg, were talking about.
We're the bad guys is essentially the metaphor of the movie. And it is very timely. If you've watched the news lately.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Yeah. So good. Also, shout out to our producers, by the way, who are sitting like in the big, you know, the scene in Star Wars with the Millennium Falcon where they have the big gun kind of rotating side to side. That's basically our producers right now with every F-bomb that comes through.
Our producer, yeah. Shannon Green, actually just did the motions with her arms.
Yes, she did. Absolutely. This is why we need a video podcast, because then everyone could see this in all its glory. Okay, listeners, it's your turn. We want to hear from you. What movie are you most excited to see in 2019? Let us know on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at BrettMolina23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
And please call Brian Dice if you tweet at him. I would greatly appreciate it.
Great.
Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at MothershipPod@USAToday.com. But that'll do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the Mothership, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. Sorry about all the F-bombs in advance.
I'm not sorry.
If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about leaving us a rating or a review? It helps other people find the podcast. And just like our loyal listener, Brock, who got a shout out at the beginning, you could be Brock too. So again, give us all your feedback. We really love it.
Brock too, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
If Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can find us too on SoundCloud, Stitcher. Pretty much anywhere you listen to a podcast, you'll find us. That'll do it. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next Friday, nerds out.
Later.
Sleep well.